meaning we are officially entering the home stretch of Smack-Off season. It's like we ramp up, we kind of dance around it a little bit, and like, oh, damn, we're in it. And we are in it. Believe me, it's going to fly. It's going to fly right on by. It always does. It just picks up momentum, and that snowball gets bigger and bigger and faster and faster. So if you have any business that you need to get taken care of, it is time to take care of it. If you need to snag yourself an invite, aka a golden ticket, I've got stacks upon stacks waiting for you right here. Come and get yours. If you want to RSVP, anytime is a good time. Or if you want to send a prediction video, and we have been bumping them in today, you can start doing that as well. They've already started. They're airing on CBS Sports Network. Shoot a 20 to 30 second video, preferably horizontal. Pick a winner. Keep it clean. Again, no sex, drugs, booze, violence, weapons, nudity, or anything else offensive enough that we cannot air it on national television. If you can do all that and satisfy all those requirements, send it to smackoffpics@gmail.com. smackoffpics@gmail.com. It's very simple. So 1 month out from the big day also means the player profiles are in full swing. Today, we hit a competitor whose name has already come up quite a bit this Smack-Off season. A competitor who has already RSVP'd. An RSVP because he knows he's in. He wasn't going to wait for a profile. He wasn't going to assume the profile. But it tells me how much energy he has for it. It tells me he's locked and he's loaded. He's ready. A dude who has made it incredibly clear that he is a man on a mission with a disaster to avenge. Today, Mark in Boston gets the profile treatment. Now, if you just check Mark's resume, there are no straps. In fact, he hasn't even hit the podium. His best finish ever was a fifth place finish way back in 2016. But the thing about Mark is, good or bad, his calls are always memorable. And he's not afraid. Not afraid to take a chance. Not afraid to take a big swing. Even if that big swing winds up a huge whiff. Which is exactly what happened at Smack-Off 26 3 years ago. He somehow took a legitimately brilliant idea of running down Jungle Legend and Radio Row staple Bill Romanowski. He got Romo to appear in a Smack-Off call, and then somehow, some way, even with Romo shot out of a cannon and beloved in the jungle, that epic cameo was boring as hell.
Hey, Jim, guess what? It's Romo time.
Hey, Romo here. That free solo guy is getting ready to scale Rick in Buffalo's nose.
Plenty of holes for Alex Honnold to grab up there, Romo. Rick looks like he was the goalie for his high school darts team. He modeled his game after EJO.
Brad's voice is so damn irritating, it gives me jock itch.
You think that guy's voice is bad? Wait till you see his head. His dome has four sharp corners. When his kids want to unlock his iPhone, they point the Face ID at the Minecraft guy.
Sean, let's put down the cookies. What the hell?
Good point, Romo. When you look like a giant glass of milk with eyes, it's not called eating cookies, though. It's called dunking them.
And? Didn't even hit the board with that. Do you know how happy I was initially to hear Romo's voice in the Smack-Off? And do you know how hard it is to include Romo in your Smack-Off call and not finished in the top 10? Before Smack-Off 26, I would have alleged that that was an impossibility. Yet somehow, Mark in Boston managed to prove me wrong. But credit for the creativity, though. That's something that's been going on for several years. What celebrity can you pull into your call? And there have been some big wins, some big names. And Romo was a good idea, except that the execution was not there. Credit for the creativity, credit for the attempt. I'm serious. Like, I love that he was willing to take a chance. And I also love how much he loves the event, which he made very clear recently in his Smack-Off call. Well, not so recently, but 2 years ago. He actually landed in the top 10 with this call.
And this is why we need the Smack-Off. Without your show this day, every caller would sound like Bobby in Brooklyn. Basically, local radio.
Oh, yeah, hey, X-Man, love the show. First time, long time. I'm so freaking steamed about the Indians right now. Hey, Tito, why don't you spend less time grabbing your beanbag and doing the weird signs and coach the game? Anyway, traffic's bad. I'll hang up and listen.
Jimmy, if you get rid of this Smack-Off, I will pay a $50K retainer to Mark Garagos and sue you for everything that you're worth.
Bobby from Brooklyn was another old schooler, an intimidator. Bobby, I used to feel like, had a baseball bat in his hand at all times and was not afraid to use it. And then he showed up out of nowhere a few years back. You never know. You never know. But hearing that makes what I'm about to say, hearing that makes what I'm about to play even tougher. Because unfortunately for Mark, last year's call did end in disaster. It ended in disaster because it ended without even starting. Basically, his call did not even really happen. But what did happen is the single worst thing that can happen on the day of. And that's when your power goes out the second you hit the air. We head now to Chowtown. It is Mark in Boston. Great to have you back. Mark, how are you?
Oh, hey, Jimmy. Thank you, man. Hey, here's a horse reference left call.
Dude, you're gone.
That's not a good call.
Just a picture of Mark in Boston's face on CBS Sports Network and no audio.
Not a very good
honestly,
call.
At this point, I don't know if I'm more... That's brutal. Funny for us. But about the least amusing thing in the world for Mark. This dude's put a lot of time and a lot of effort into these calls. And I'm grateful for it. He makes it better. He makes it better because this dude cares. He's competitive. He wants to win. He's talked about how important the event is to him. That's why to lose like that on the big stage once a year is soul-crushing. However, if you think that Mark is going to quit, lie down, curl up, look for a place to die, disappear like so many others before him who got punched in the face by the jungle, you don't know this dude. And believe me, I've seen a lot of guys just disappear, have a bad experience, and they're nowhere to be found. I'm not even going to mention names because you know who they are. If you think Mark is one of those dudes, think again, because he could not be any more focused than he is right now for the comeback. Temporary setback, setting up a huge comeback. At least that's the way he's approaching it. That's the way he sounds. He's already been in here to RSVP, so he's already shaken that off. He's like the Heat. He took something really bad, and he shook it off. He's already shaken it off. He's already RSVP'd, and he's making it very clear. Now is his time. He's coming back for vindication. He's coming back for redemption, and he's coming back to win and talk bleep.
And, Jimmy, look, I get it. It's season. I don't have the authority to announce it's Smack-Off season. Only the host can do that, you self-important D-bags. But here's what I know. I've got a landline now. I've got some takes. They don't suck. And I'll be there on June 30th, baby. Peace.
Peace. So I'm glad that this guy is still hungry. I'm glad that he still has that gear, another gear. I don't think we've heard the best from Mark in Boston. I think the best is still in front of him. And if he can make his best call on the biggest day on said hardline, he has the talent, the skill, the game to hit the podium, or maybe even better. Again, it's only one person's opinion, but there is a reason Stucknut has got him at 8-1 to win. Same as Benny and Wisco. And the reason is either of these dudes can do it on their best day. On his best day, Mark in Boston absolutely can contend for a strap, or I would not be giving him a player profile.
Hi. Gino, do us a favor. You, Silk, the other has-beens, please don't clog up a line for guys that matter, man. We'll hear from you on the Stucknut After Show or the Woods Ghost. You can talk about the glory days there, man.
Who wants to walk with Jeff in Richmond? You really should not brag about something you can't do. I mean, be honest. How long ago did the Type 2 beat us? Take those feet.
Hey, Brad. You've won 5 of these things, and you still sell insurance with Reggie? Bro, you could have your own show in the middle of the night that no one listens to. Like, Sean, Rick, you're a science teacher, right? I have a physics question for you about gravity. Why are you able to grow hair on your face but not your head? It doesn't make sense.
I am Detroit-born and brought up in freaking Florida. I've got the blood of a scumbag, and I was raised by Florida Man. You want Florida Man clones? You got Florida Man. A dangerous mix. The guy who will burn down your whole neighborhood and then walk his pet alligator on a leash around the flame. What a bad look for DA. How much longer is CBS going to keep paying him when they realize a teacher from Buffalo and a stay-at-home dad in Corona are better at talking sports than him? Hey, DA, how is it possible that your call could actually make me want to hear more Matt in L.A.?
So, yeah, I do love the Red Sox, but Caleb always loves his tube sock.
Does Romo cut up lines of creatine when he's at your table and offer you the mirror like, you want to hit this, bro?
I just think it's kind of odd that NASCAR is the only sport where there's literally a crankshaft right in the driver's face the whole time. Oh, sorry, wrong segment. War playing Connect Four on Seal's face.
Jim, I know the challenge before me is great. The odds are long. But much like Antonio Cromartie when he found out his wife's tubes were tied, challenge accepted.
Henry Winkler, Ron Say, Larry Brown, good night now.
See, this is why I forgive this guy of that skit with Romo. This is why I forgive this guy of his power going out right at the start of his call. He's got that in him. So what I'm saying to you is, if that's the best he has, does his best on the biggest day get him on the podium or better? Maybe. Maybe. That's Mark in Boston, ready to show up for his 7th smack off. He has 3 top 10s. He has a top 5. He has that one epic meltdown and disaster to avenge. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has in a month. He strikes me as a dude that I know is doing the work. I know he's preparing. I know he's honing his craft, his skills. I know he's going to be loaded for bear. I just hope that it lasts longer than 2 seconds this time. We're not doing a profile unless we think you've got a shot. Jeff in Richmond with a bump back. Did you see that? Jeff in his luxury sled calling his shot. How do I not get reaction to that? Hit me with that. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, I know a lot of you are. That was a prediction video for the Smack Off. That's a former Smack Off winner. That is the one who came up with Rogan Loam. Rogan Loam, a.k.a. Logan Rome, just finished up his high school baseball career. And I mentioned I kind of got dusty on that. When I went to the high school baseball banquet, his coach was roguing him. Rogues, rogues this, rogues that. His coach admitted, like, I'd never seen a sidewinder before, or I'd never coached a sidewinder. His coach's not a young coach. Like, he's been around the game a long, long, long time, decades and decades and decades. And he's been a college baseball coach at a high level and knows a lot of people. But he admitted he had never worked with, quote, a sidewinder. So he's up there telling the story about, quote, rogues. Rogues, rogues this, rogues that. His own coach was rogues. Even the dugout, when Logs would get on the mound, like, yo, Rogan, Rogan Loam. So Jeff got that going for you. And you just saw the bump back. How can I not get any reaction to that visual of Jeff in Richmond calling his shot in his luxury sled with his 18-inch pipes and his 4-acre country estate? Well, he didn't show that. But he did show his luxury sled. He was behind the wheel of said luxury sled and his 18-inch pipes. I get no reaction? Come on. I know you're watching on CBS Sports Network. The Dell Technologies summer sale event starts right now. Savings on select PCs powered by the latest Intel Core processors and great deals on select accessories, plus free shipping on everything. And save now by calling 877-ASK-DELL. 877-ASK-DELL. Hey, Rome, you're right. Mark in Boston could win the smack off on his best day. We would have to happen too. Regards, the BIC self-imploding. Left in Laguna getting illegally gimmicky with cameos. Caleb in Green Bay stuck in a long line of Culver's. Eric in Castle Rock. Listen, dude. Long shots win. Mark in Boston is not that long of a shot. 99-1 shots win. 50-1 shots have won the Derby. You got to run the race. Weird things happen. One year, Brad in Corona was having an amazing call, an award-winning call, and then just offed himself. You don't know who's going to show up day of and who won't. You don't know how they're going to show up day of or won't. Silk won the event. All right? Anything can happen. Believe me, stranger things have happened than Mark in Boston ripping a title. It could happen. Ken in SA writes, Rome, I don't get why people are bitching about Jewel's version of the national anthem. I thought she put some teeth into it. Funny one, Ken. She did do the anthem at the Indy 500. Alvin, do you have any of that? By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight. Alvin, did they have drilling in the background when she was doing that, or did you add that? Who's gone? Strip up the jackhammer. What does that represent? I would never, ever talk over the anthem unless Carl Lewis does it or Jewel does it. Uh-oh. I've heard worse. Take Carl, for instance. There have been way worse than that. I mean, Carl in the middle at least had the wherewithal to know that he had jacked it up for all times and said he'd make up for it now. You know, in terms of Mark in Boston having no shot whatsoever, or Mark in Boston only having a chance to win if all of these other things happen, I'll give you another example. Back in the day, when Mark in Hollywood won, he had longer odds. He was a longer shot. And I don't want to say he came out of nowhere, but that was not somebody that people were targeting as the one to beat. And he did. You just don't know who's going to show up with what the day of. That's why I'm saying Mark's very best. If he levels up and finds another gear that we didn't know, or even he didn't know, it might be enough. It might be enough. You do not know. This is why we play the game. This is why they do it. June 30th. Invite only. All right. Now, this is something that normally, this seems weird because normally this comes right before the event, like the week of the event. But if you know the show and you know the inside of the show, Stucknut does a show after the Smack Off, and they've got multiple hosts, and they break down what happened, which is awesome. I love that. A show talking about the show. They even have Smack Off contestants on the show crying about how they got jammed. So it's a good thing. I like it. Content about our content. How can that be a bad thing? One of the hosts of that show is the Pool Doc. Now, the Pool Doc normally calls much closer to the actual show to remind everybody to listen to their show. So it seems a little unusual to me that he's calling a month out unless he's going to make multiple calls. Let's find out. We go to the, quote, Pool Doc. Yo, Doc, it seems a little early for you to be calling. What's up?
Vance Mack? Is it really you? I can't believe it. You're my hero. But yeah, I'm a Stucknut team Holdock. That's my name. So you know the smack off is in 90 days. Vance Mack. It's Bacon in Canada. Steve in Houston. And me. I'm in San Antonio. We just put out the odds, Vance Mack, on whose turn it is to win this year.
That's not a good call. No.
Not only was that not a good call, that was not a good idea. Not only was that not a good idea, that was about the stupidest idea. I don't know what moron tried to pull that off, but I bet it was Ray and S.A. That was terrible, man. Do you really think that I and the crew work as hard as we do on this show for that nonsense? I know. I'll impersonate the pool doc. Your best Ray will not beat anybody's worst, because that was the worst. But that might have been your best. Wow, dude. Way to bring me down. All right, when we come back, I think I will get back to the show, if that's okay. Maybe some thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins. Like, how much value does he have at this point? Would KC bring him in? Would Buffalo bring him in? Is there a bidding war for this guy? And would he put either one of them over the top? Not that KC needs to be put over the top, because they already are. But is he the difference between Buffalo getting over the top? Or I might go to a phone call. If you're on hold, stay there. There's a good chance you'll get through. 1-800-636-8686. Coming up on this show tomorrow, let's see what we have here. We go to the master grid, because we're moving into June. Yeah, I love it. Skip Schumacher. Maybe another absolute legend of NASCAR. Maybe. He's in black ink, which means he's tentative. Skipper, though, is in green, which is great. He's a gaucho. A great manager. Great baseball man. All right. We take a short time out. Here is a sports update. I think I can guarantee a phone call next segment. I think. Don't hang up if you're one of the few that are on hold. Here is the update. Here's Rich Ackerman. All right, so we had one last segment. Welcome back. We had Howard Beck. We had Pierre Maguire. I've got episode 268 of the Jim Rohn podcast, which is still live. Jerry McCoy. Wow, time goes fast. Like, that's live, and then we'll push out another one tomorrow. So you want to get that in before then. I mean, get it in whenever you want. They all hold. So wherever you get your podcasts, if you don't mind. I've been doing this now for several years, 268. Like I mentioned, a lot of people get fired up to do a smack, or I should say a podcast. You know, they get going and they're fired up, and they'll do 5, 10, 15, maybe 20. And that piece, I'm out. I'm good. Tired of doing it. Get nothing out of it. 268. And if I do them once a week and do the math, I work like 46 weeks out of the year, then it would stand to reason we've been doing that like, what, 6 years, 7 years? With regularity and almost never double up, and they're consistent, and they're good, and they're free, and they're long form, and they're loose, and they're premium. And I can say and do things there that I can never say or do here without getting fired. So you should look for that. And the guests know that. The guests do things there that they know they could never do here. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good product. I would look for that if I were you. I mentioned that if you're on hold, you want to stay there, because there's a very good chance I will get you on the air, and I'm going to make good on that right now. Talk about a reinvention project. This guy, John in New York, he's holding a golden ticket. So here's what I love about John in New York. The stakes are always high. He's not afraid. Again, he's not camping. He's not camping. He's not hiding. He's holding a golden ticket, meaning every time he calls, he's at risk of losing the golden ticket and not getting it back. And it's not afraid. I respect that. I admire that. Not only do I respect it and admire it, there is a strategy to it, even if he's not executing the strategy. But it enhances the chances that if you're a bubble candidate of getting on the day of, it's more likely that you'll get on because you were more aggressive and you weren't a punk. You weren't afraid. So this is all working in his favor, provided he holds on to the golden ticket. Let's find out. John in New York, he has a golden ticket. Is he still going to have it a few minutes from right now? We're all going to find out together. John, my brother, what's going on?
Hey, Jim, how you doing? You know, I just turned on the CBS Sports Network, and I'm walking around, and all of a sudden I hear my dog, and my nephew starts crying, and my dog lets out this, like, little, like a howl, and he, boom, right through the screen door, and I look up at the thing, and I see this big, like, I thought they were making another Mucinex commercial with the big green blob and stuff, and then I realized it was Jeff in Richmond. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen on TV in my entire life, Jim. I'm calling up to please ask the execs at CBS, at least give us a heads up on what's coming up before you put it on the TV. Thanks a lot, Jim. I just wanted to put that out there. Come here, puppy. You don't got, I won't put him on no more. My dog is scared over here, Jim. Let me run, and I'll talk to you soon.
John in New York saying that when Jeff in Richmond made his video prediction, the dog started to howl. And was it the nephew or the kid that started crying? And is it too much to ask, but can the suits at New York put a disclaimer or at least let us know this next take or this next graphic is extremely graphic in nature? All right, so if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, that's what he's talking about. That's Jeff. Gesturing, pointing, taking off his sunglasses for effect, zooming in to make his point. I don't know. John, as we've pointed out repeatedly, personal appearances are not show fodder. Now, part of the problem is why I allow that. Because Jeff does make personal appearances part of his show fodder. Jeff has long said he's got 18-inch pipes and a trophy wife on his arm. Well, I don't know. I haven't got a tape measure around those pipes. I don't know that they're 18 inches, or if they are, not the good kind of 18 inches. Yeah, I don't know. Let me see if there's any other reaction that would echo that. Hey, Rome Town Buffet, heat nuggets, heat nuggets, heat nuggets. Signed, Fat Jeff in Richmond, when his cholesterol nurse asks what he wants for breakfast. V in the fee. Heat nuggets, heat nuggets, heat nuggets. I'm going to say it wasn't John's best effort, but not bad enough to rip the ticket. He's still holding on to it. SA Sports Honk writes, Rome, Jeff in Richmond wants us to, quote, walk with him? Where are we walking? To the Golden Corral Buffet? To the Moo Moo Shop? To pick out a new outfit? To Baskin Robbins to see if they invented that elusive 30-second flavor? To the CPAP store? Holy fat, Batman! Hashtag fat! I got a feeling y'all think he's fat. We're not fat-shaming people on this show. We're not doing that. He's a former champ. He's a legend. He called his shot. He's participating. We're not doing this. So I mentioned that Mark in Hollywood was a longer shot than Mark in Boston back in the day. Here's Stucknut. Stucknut says Mark in Hollywood was 18-1. 18-1 going into the 2013 Smack-Off. Wow. You see, this is my point. If you can win at 18-1, almost anybody can. And I'm going to defend Jeff. Jeff did what I asked. Jeff made a video prediction. I like it.
Scrumptious.
I'm trying to get you on TV. Hey, Jim, take back that golden ticket. Signed to everyone. Doug in Milwaukee. Ward Jeff in Richmond. Yo, Doug, explain to me how it is that you speak for, quote, everyone. That's quite a trick. How'd you pull that off, Dougie? Signed to everyone? One problem, Doug. You can speak for everyone except for one. The only one who matters, me. He still has the ticket. But there's a month left. If it'll make you feel better, there's plenty of time between now and then for John to lose the ticket. But right now, he still has it. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. My thanks to Howard Beck, Pierre Maguire, tomorrow Skip Schumacher, the XR4TI. It is a short week, so get going. You're running out of time. If you want to be in the Smack-Off, think about what you would say or what you would do to get a golden ticket and then do it tomorrow or the next day. See you then. We're out.